A.Q. Khan, the father of Pakistan's nuclear program, who orchestrated a black market nuclear operation, was released in early February after 5 years under house arrest in Pakistan. Khan was arrested in 2004 after Western intelligence officials stopped a ship headed to Libya with machine parts used to enrich uranium, exposing the Pakistani scientists' illicit international nuclear network. According to United Nations inspectors, Khan gave blueprints for the manufacture of nuclear weapons to Iran, Libya, and North Korea, and was active in a dozen countries. In 2004, the government of President Pervez Musharraf made Khan confess in public for his misdeeds. Musharraf then pardoned him and put Khan under house arrest. American and Western intelligence officials were never able to question Khan about his nuclear network or pursue leads about support he likely received from Pakistani intelligence agencies. According to the Washington Post, considerable doubt remains about the notion that Khan's underground network was disbanded. Nuclear weapons blueprints have been recently discovered on computers in Switzerland and Dubai. Attempts to prosecute Khan's known contacts have failed. Swiss prosecutors have charged the Bush administration with withholding critical evidence needed to convict three Swiss nationals in Khan's network. One of those suspected has now told Swiss television that he was working undercover for the CIA. The Obama administration's policy on Africa will get an early test in the International Criminal Court, or ICC, as the court is expected to issue an arrest warrant for Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir on charges of committing atrocities in Darfur in western Sudan. If the arrest warrant is issued, Bashir has promised to punish United Nations humanitarian operations in Sudan, inflict more pain on Darfur, and go after separatist groups in southern Sudan. There is growing pressure in Africa for the ICC to withdraw the threat of the arrest warrant. Susan Rice, the new U.S. ambassador to the UN, has articulated strong opposition to genocide in recent years and once called for U.S. airstrikes in Darfur. But now Rice has to negotiate directly with Sudan, which currently chairs the influential Group of 77 developing countries at the United Nations. For the next year, Khartoum will be a leading party in international negotiations over climate change, the UN budget, and the global financial crisis. In response, Rice says the Obama administration is going to be very strong and energetic in an effort to deal effectively with the ongoing genocide and make it very clear that the behavior of the government of Sudan is simply unacceptable and something we condemn. According to the ICC's chief prosecutor, Luis Moreno Ocampo, over 450,000 people have died from violence and disease in the Darfur conflict since 2003. And nearly 3 million people have been forced to flee from their homes. In New York State's North Country, wind power is not just a feel-good mantra, but a real source of good-paying jobs for the future. The area below the Canadian border is one of the windiest spots in the nation and already produces 690 megawatts of clean energy. Clinton Community College is now training wind power operation technicians who can make $50,000 a year. These new jobs will fill a vacuum in a region decimated by the loss of the manufacturing base and family farms. These positions combine old-fashioned blue-collar sensibilities with high-tech computer skills. But clean energy producers face strong headwinds due to the current economic crisis, according to The Nation magazine. Like many environmental firms, they have trouble getting access to credit and face cuts in state renewable energy programs. Activists are hoping green stimulus funds from the Obama administration will revive the clean energy industry. Funding for weatherization and energy efficiency programs can create thousands of new jobs, but Congress is more reluctant to fund longer-term projects like upgrading the electric power grid or high-speed rail. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Richard Hill.